you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson a quit. If the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Don't get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the
What's up, everybody? It's the Legion of Skanks podcast coming to you from our Zoom show. I'm your host, Big J Okerson. The Skanks are all here. We got Davey Smith.
What's up, brother? Good to see you conscious.
Hey, everyone. Look at me up and alert. We have the reigning defending Ellis Mania champion, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez.
What's up, baby boys? Let's go. One more day to Key West, Jay.
I saw you got ready. You shaved off your Puerto Rican Hitler mustache is gone. Me and Dave have definitely been both holding off on saying that since the second you came on screen.
I did shave. You guys shamed me into shaving it. Well, yeah. No, here's what happened. I had it.
You messed up fine. Even more. You got it down to a real Hitler.
But I don't know how I got underneath the one side, but it was all thin and wispy up here. It looked like Gomez's Adams mustache on one side.
You just got it down.
Thick and bushy on this side.
A real Hitler mustache. And you were like, I can't face these Jews in Key West with this.
Yeah, it was not good. So you guys shamed me, but also now that I'm losing a little bit of weight, my cheekbones are coming back in. I look good when I shave my face.
You got a good upper lip. You got a good sans mustache upper lip.
Hell yeah, doggy. Thank you very much, Jay. I'm happy you're alive. I was very worried about you. I texted you late last night. Just being like, are you all right?
That's pretty hilarious. Two days later. He goes, dude, how you feeling? Fine.
He was an awful friend. I texted him late afternoon yesterday.
He did.
Jay didn't get back to me till last night, but I did text him.
If you guys didn't see Legion of Skanks on Monday, Jay, he during a dab, he actually genuinely passed out. And then people were telling me that you passed out. I mean, I think if you were in the UFC, they would have stopped the fight.
Yes.
If they didn't, it was a bad refereeing.
It was a crazy dangerous refing.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. I could not have intelligently defended myself at that moment.
Like,
without a doubt. No argument there.
If you had, like, in the middle of it while you were down, if you had given us a thumbs up, I would have let the fight keep going. You didn't.
Look, UFC rules different. Pro wrestling rules, Jay, by the third time I put his arm up, he would have been right there, dude. But pro wrestling is not real.
In pro wrestling, if you go out for a choke, it's an insane amount of time that they take before they stop. They give you three full flops.
Yeah, the amount of oxygen that you would lose your brain, you would be mentally retarded.
Yeah, yeah. Mega brain damage.
By the way, why would it not be clear just the first time your arm falls that you're unconscious?
He goes,
you're supposed to regain consciousness?
Maybe he's just lazy. Wow, what a fucking bum. Oh, you know what? This third one's making me a little nervous. Get off him.
Well, you wouldn't be less passed out after you're passed out. You can already get brain damage now. Once you're passed out, you're passed out. You're not coming around in the middle of the move.
Yeah,
dangerous. You know what? Honestly, somebody should look into that pro wrestling stuff. There's something fishy going on there.
It's almost not the best system for fighting. DDTing
somebody on concrete is also very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. But here's the funny part. Jay, I heard you say on the bonfire that you were no longer going to take butane dabs.
Yeah. Well, I said I clarified that. Is that more? I'm just not going to do the just the flame dabs. I'll just do the ones where you can like put the temperature in.
Well, are you going to buy like one of those temperature set dab rigs, or are you going like, because you can get ones. So the best ones you can get, it's essentially like this part, the part that we light up is connected to a coil that's connected
a Puffco. I have a Puffco.
But not Puffco. That's different. Those give shitty dabs compared to.
what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm talking about.
There's some new one in the studio.
So you're just taking it as you're starting with a given that you have to keep dabbing, even though you passed out from the dab. And then we're going to work back.
He's got to get high. He's not going to get high without dabbing.
No, I'll say to you also, like, I don't dab every day before that.
That's like the thing an addict says.
What?
I don't do it every day. I can quit anytime I want.
You don't dab every day, Jay?
Oh, no. No, but I'm saying in the beginning of doing dabs, I did dab every day. And then I was like, man, like really like fucking burns your throat and shit. And I would just like fucking, so I would just do it more like once or twice a week. I would do it like, definitely at Skanks, obviously. But I mean, when I go on the road, I don't have dabs or anything with me ever.
Oh, I do. What I do now is I bring dabs on the road and then I go to the local head shop and I buy an entire dab rig setup that I just break at the end of my stay. Every time.
Really?
Yeah, well, because the electric dab rig I have is okay, but I like a real dab. I like a real, when I smoke a blunt, it's like I'm smoking it socially, like with my buddies. I'm not getting like stoned.
Oh, see, I definitely still have like, especially the pre-rolls from those places and everything. Like I certainly get stoned from the joint I just smoked, I'm pretty stoned from. So it does not work for me. I can see that. You're saying it's like your tolerance is like the weed doesn't even hit you anymore.
No.
That issue at all.
Sometimes I won't bring dabs on the road. And then when I get back home, the first dab that I take, I'm fucking just baked out of my mind. But here's what happened to you, Jay. Were you concerned that it was too big a hits, too high a temperature? What was it? Why do you think you passed out?
I don't know. All I know is if it makes sense, the only time I feel that actually one time at home ever did I feel that every week. And I said this on a couple things now, but unrelated to what happened before the day before, I was talking to Christine at home and I was like, you know, I was like, when I do those dabs on, or I was like, somebody gave me dabs on the road and I said, so I can't, but I was like, you know, what's funny. I go, when I do those dabs on Skanks, I wonder if the crowd, I always wonder if they see, I've said something about it before while it's happening, but after I'll do one sometimes on the show, I'd say pretty much at least one of them I do a week. My body feels like it's like, I would say my body's doing this, like it's shaking like this. And I literally am just like, I think it's just like that, you know, it's the oxygen cut off to the brain. You're blowing the smoke out. So it's not great, but I've never been like, I'm passing out. I just kind of like, it's almost kind of like a giggly, funny thing. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, here's that thing. And then you're like, all right. And I mean, 10 seconds later, you just kind of snap back and you're like, all right, now I'm just high.
I sometimes when I take one, I'll see like the, what do they call it? I forget what they call it, but it almost looks like little beads like coming across like, I'll be like exactly tripping, like in my peripheral, like little beads of like air.
It looks like when people get the things projected onto their house for Christmas.
Yeah. Or like almost like a drop of water going down your window.
Yeah.
But that's air. There's drops of air going down my eyes.
Yeah. In my mind, should I stop
smoking weed?
When I was younger, yes. I was like, when I was younger, that happened, I'd be like, I think I'm seeing spores. Is that what spores are? Do I have the gift of seeing spores now? But no, to say what, but that's, if it makes sense, I felt, that's what I just felt again. And I know I put like my, not my, drop my head down, but I know I like looked down. Do you know what I mean? I looked down and then I knocked over the butane thing. I wouldn't have told you that happened. And shaking my cup did not feel like that was happening to me.
Rewatching it, you were shaking more than I realized.
Yeah,
I was shaking. It looked like, you know, kind of like Alex just commented in the post. It looked like you were having a seizure for a second.
For sure.
Yeah, I know you are. No, here's what happened. I know exactly what happened.
You don't, but it's a good guess.
I know exactly what happened. Don't tell me I don't.
I poisoned your dab rig.
Don't tell me, dude. I rubbed fentanyl around the tip of the bong.
Guys, I'll tell you exactly what happened. You don't know. No. You know, guys, I do. Oh, this is tough. I gave you a roofie, Jay. He wigged.
What'd you do if I rubbed fentanyl on the mouthpiece of the bong to dose you with fentanyl? What a hilarious prank.
He goes, what? I use less than a fingernail. It shouldn't kill you.
So no, I know exactly what happened. Do you remember when we were kids and we used like hyperventilate, mm-hmm. and you would bend over and you'd breathe deep for like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and you'd come back up and somebody would put their hands on your carotid arteries to try to cut off the blood to your head, that and then you would pass out, right? very often you wouldn't even need somebody to put their hands on your neck. Very often, just being a fat kid, if I was like bent over from having a, you know, a fucking, you know, a vigorous game of
stroll
tag.
Just remember when you were a kid and you would jog? That's what happened to you.
Yeah. Well, no, when you bend over and you'd be like, you breathe really heavy and you come up too quick and you get a little lightheaded, right? So what you did, Jay, was you're taking this massive dab, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of the dab, cutting off all the oxygen. You're holding it in. You're going down, you're cutting off the oxygen to your head, and you're coming up to hold it in. It's the exact motion of like hyperventilating, facing downward, mm-hmm. coming back up. And yeah, you just passed out. It had nothing to do with the temperature of the dabs. It had nothing to do with the butane. It had nothing to do with it being too big of a hit.
Oh, I was told I have COPD. Epilepsy.
You have copta? Did it freak you out, Jay? Because I know you are a bit of a hypochondriac.
It did, for sure. Definitely was like, I was like, when I saw it back too, I was like, oh, that's concerning looking, for sure. However, if it makes sense, like what you would describe somebody passing out, like a loss of time, like that loss of time is like immeasurably small to me. Almost, do you know what I mean? So I was like, I think there's an explanation for it. I think it's like a solvable thing.
Have you been losing time a lot? Has there been a dead priest that you've read about in the newspaper?
Wait, what? Not Father O'Houlihan. Did I do something? Yeah. It's fucking, I just watched that recently. Good movie, Primal Fear.
So good. Loved it.
But let me say what I was saying, though. But Dave, to answer your question, because I am a hypochondriac, you're absolutely right. I will obsess over something. Well,
you're not
something.
Like a fucking, you don't have like a debilitating, like, but it's you the, tend well, you tend no, to be is. More.
I would argue, I mean,
you're not a real hypochondriac.
I would argue that I am, for sure. But
real hypochondriacs sense, wouldn't raw dog sluts.
Oh, then I'm not.
Every time I think I'm a hypochondriac, I'm like, yeah, but I don't really fucking, you know.
No, it's not. You have hypochondriac. I'm afraid tendencies. To die. Yes, yeah. I have very hypochondriac tendencies, for sure. But my point is, but if something's explained to me, even if it's like a for life problem, I can like wrap my brain around that. I don't like not knowing it. You know what I mean?
So this seems thing, like there was a me. It wasn't like you just passed out talking.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I did a thing and it's I had a reaction dab. To it. So I'm like, yeah. I could always never dab again and probably not run into that issue ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think
all you got to do is not dab and then you'll die from some other unrelated thing.
Of course. What me and you said when we were texting before about when my dad conked out when I was younger, I think remember my dad was like, he said he announced he hadn't smoked weed in a couple years.
Yeah, but it was cigarettes he was smoking while he passed out, I think.
Yeah, but I think he also quit smoking, remember? So it was like, I think he just all hit him at once and he just fucking zipped.
But I know guy in Lauren's family, like an older guy, who said he had that same experience, that he quit smoking cigarettes for years, then smoked cigarettes with some buddies and passed out.
Yeah.
So I think it was the cigarettes that did it to your dad. The thing with your dad is he fell head first on the fucking concrete.
But still almost or a similar maybe hit thing, a garbage if you remember,
can or something.
It was a garbage can, metal garbage
can.
Yeah,
that's
right. But if you recall, though, almost similar to the same thing, though, it's like upon popping up, when I mean, they put the video on a bonfire yesterday. When I look up at Lewis, I'm genuinely like smiling a moment later. I'm like, because he says, are you okay? And I was like, am I? And I was like, did something weird just happen? and he was like, dude, you went out. I'm like, did I go? And then when you showed it, I'm like, I kind of remember everything up to and including like my head kind of touching microphone and Lewis going, are you okay? Because as soon as he said, you okay? I was like right there. I'm like, I go, is it weird? We're just
you remember everything up to the passed out part?
But that's what I'm almost saying. Like, I'm not missing any of what I saw in that picture other than the motion of my hand. Dude, when I pop up, I grab a Truly right away. I take a sip.
Well, you're gay.
Yeah, I grabbed my pink drink and had a little.
Yeah, well, you didn't even know where you were at that point. You just did your normal gay tendencies. You're like, Truly, where's a cock?
Yeah, somebody. I drank a Truly and started pawing at Dave's pants.
That's what happens if you catch Jay off guard.
What are we sucking everyone's cocks? Wait, what's up, dude? We getting pussy or what?
Yeah, I was a hypochondriac for a long time. I am a hypochondriac still, but just in the past couple years, I've turned a corner in my life where now I feel like like, I still don't want to go to the doctor. The way I was a hypochondriac was I would avoid going to the doctor because I thought the doctor was going to deliver me news that I have cancer or AIDS or whatever else it was, right? And I would be really freaked out every time I would go to get an STD test. I would like have a nervous breakdown. Like, I know this is it, dude. I know I have fucking AIDS now. And just recently I found out I have AIDS. So I've made my peace with it. They give you a counselor. And
it's not a death sentence any longer.
Yeah, dude. You live with it, dude. Magic. Recently I just started going to the doctor, and like, it's honestly, he gives me kind of good news now. He's like, oh no, your blood work's great. He's like, you're a little bit, you know, deficient on vitamin B or whatever, and we'll just give you vitamin B. And now I feel like my skin's better, and I feel like my metabolism is better. That may be psychological, but the same way that I was like in my head about it and I would feel like I was dying, like now I'm convincing myself that I'm like healthier. So it's almost like a little bit of a shift.
There's a connection between going to the doctor and being healthy.
Yeah. I choose not to be, I choose to like be as not big on that, because I really also at this point, and it's age completely. And AIDS? I know we're like old, no, but I'm saying like that it's, there's always something. And Lewis, you can kind of relate to it to some degree. I'm not talking about a major thing. I'm just like, exactly. There's a sty. I've got some other, you know what I mean? Like, some skin thing, a fucking ingrown hairs bugging. You know what I mean?
But I went to an eye doctor. My shoulder hurts. And they gave me a solution that fucking, I haven't had a sty. I also haven't done cocaine. So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I started like, you know, look, the reality is like, as I'm getting older, I'm just genuinely being healthier. Like, I'm terrified of a mole on my chest. And I went to the dermatologist last week and I was like, all right, doc, tell me it's cancer. Here we go. What's the first step now? We got to cut it out of my chest. And she's like, no, it's a mole. I was like, oh, really? That's it? I was like, I'm positive. I was like, that's not what moles should look like.
It goes, that's a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah, you're dirty.
Oh, yum. You want to go halfsies? Oh. Thanks for the diagnosis.
Oh, my Whopper. That's where that went.
What is malt? I don't even know what malt is.
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank BlackBuffalo.com for supporting today's show. Black Buffalo is an incredible company that is supporting us. And if you guys like chewing tobacco, Black Buffalo is the only smokeless tobacco alternative that delivers the same experience as traditional long cut and pouches, just without any tobacco leaf or stem. So if you guys like to dip, you guys like to chew, but you guys don't want that nasty tobacco leaf, well, guess what? This is for you.
Fuck you, big tobacco. Suck on this shit. Literally suck on it. A pouch. Well,
you suck if you chew. I don't really know. You know what? Don't say literally suck. I don't exactly know if that's what you do with it.
Metaphorically.
Black Buffalo products are made for existing adult tobacco users who are at least 21 years old, and they do not contain tobacco leaf or stem. And their base ingredient is a specific variety of edible green leaves, they add food safe ingredients and pharmaceutical grade nicotine for a product that delivers the same experience as traditional smokeless products. So, you know, here's the deal, guys. You know, tobacco, that's the fucking problem. You don't want to be putting tobacco in your
mouth. Fuck you, North Carolina. You're going down.
So look, I have a lot of friends who have switched to Black Buffalo recently. Zach Amico exclusively chews Black Buffalo now, which is incredible.
Me and Ralph had Black Buffalo on STRs not long ago.
What do you think?
That's the porn star. This is different.
Yeah.
Sorry.
same idea though.
Same concept. Both tobacco free. Yeah, stem or leaf.
They have all the flavors that you guys love, like wintergreen, mint, straight, peach, and even blood orange. And they sell all of their products at blackbuffalo.com. They're available in both long cut and pouches. And if you're looking to ditch nicotine and tobacco altogether, look for their nicotine free option called Zero. They also have subscription service. It's made in the USA. It's really a great company and you should be supporting them. They support us. So right now, all you got to do to support them is go to blackbuffalo.com and use the promo code SKANKS when you check out. You're going to save 25% off your entire order. Once again, that's blackbuffalo.com, BlackBuffalo.com. Use the promo code SKANKS for 25% off your entire order. All right, where were we? Dude, they just emailed me. This is not even like a nice car, but I might have to buy my dream car from when I was a kid.
What is it?
What?
A 1994 Jaguar XJS series.
Oh, Lord.
White convertible. Dude, it's not a fancy car. It was just when I was a kid, I would see it. I was like, that's the fucking dude. That's the car. Like, you know, with the little Jaguar emblem on the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the actual Jaguar.
Cool. Yeah. I love those things when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, it was Jaguar.
Yeah.
And I found one online. It's $13,000. It's not that much money. Wait, are you finding it? Is that the 94? No. Because that's older.
There's no Jaguar on that.
Yeah, that's older. Go with 1994.
That one Jaguar was really cool.
XJS. That one was awesome. 94 Jaguar.
You're gonna get it as a second car.
Yeah. To have a convertible. That's 94.
Wow.
If there's no little Jaguar on it,
enjoy having your little no Jaguar on the front.
No, it had the Jaguar on the front. I'm telling you, I saw the picture. Maybe it didn't. Maybe I'm crazy.
You might be just thinking of it wrong because it definitely has a Jaguar face in that little emblem. That's what it changed to.
Yeah, maybe. Let me go.
And because, by the way, think of the timing of that. That's what happened. They did that because Jaguar was like the number one, like when people would rip off the fucking hood ornaments. Mercedes and that, your car was in.
Oh, no, it has it right here, dude. I'm going to send you the link right now. This is it, dude.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Got it.
Let me see. Yeah. Now that's it right there. Yep. It's fucking cool, right?
It's a cool car.
I don't know. Am I crazy to fucking buy an old fucking 90s Jaguar? Is this stupid? Is this the dumbest thing I've ever purchased?
I mean, if you want it, there's no like real stupid or not stupid. It's like, I don't know. If you'd enjoy it, then it's fucking get it.
You got to put, consider $5,000, $6,000 of like stuff you got to do to it.
No. It's ready to go.
No. I mean, you're going to want to put a stereo in it. You're going to want to put better wheels on that.
Right. Yeah, no, the wheels that are on it are pretty cool, dude.
The thing, my concern
well, this is the actual picture, so.
I mean, it's not going to be like your main car, though, right? So, like, it's not like you're going to be like driving it a ton. It's like, oh, fuck, this older car is like breaking down and shit like that. Like,
no, I'm going to drive it around in the summertime on nice days.
Yeah.
Convertible. It's fucking feel cool. Like, it's just, it's not, nobody's going to look at me and be like, cool car, bro. They're like, what a loser. Like, it's not like, it's cool though for me though. Is that crazy?
You should put on driving gloves. And be like, put on driving gloves when you drive it. Brown driving gloves.
They're going to look at you and be like, I bet that was his dream car when he was a poor kid in the 90s. And now he's making just enough money that he can afford it at a reasonable price.
Yeah, my dream car, maybe. Unfortunately, would fit me like a fucking skirt. The Mazda Miata. I loved it so much. Never.
Oh, Mazda Miata?
Taking into consideration.
Your dream car was a very affordable car.
It was to me, it was a sports car. That the front of it looked so fucking cool to me. Dude, with that circle in the front.
Kia Telluride. It's James's fantasy car.
My fantasy.
Yeah, Mazda Miata is a tiny little thing.
Oh, dude. Terrible.
Roller skates.
But that opening in the front, that one right there, the red.
Yeah.
That one, yeah. That just looked so cool to me, that thing in the front. It looked like a car that would talk.
Jay, you look like you need to have like one of those big old fucking like what Ford F-150s with like oversized fucking wheels.
I think they look really cool, but it's not my thing. Anytime, even when I drove like a Jeep.
Oh, you'd roll your ankle anytime you got out of it.
No, I like an SUV guy.
I would jump down and both my shins would snap it. I'm so unathletic.
Drive a monster truck.
Dude, anytime I jump, like if I jumped off like the second stair, like since I was a kid, like there's never been a time. Like if I jumped like from the second stair and just jumped, it would send shooting pains up my feet and through my legs.
Do you not know how to land? Do you land flat footed? Probably.
I guess. Right? I don't know, dude. But that's what my fear every time I would get out of a Ford F-150 is I would snap both of my ankles in half.
Buddy, that's so weird. That's so weird. I play the game constantly. When I was just in Phoenix this weekend with the other comics, I was playing the game because it's a balcony. And then easily 30 feet down, but it's like a grassy area. And I was like, you're running from the cops. You get arrested, you're going to jail for a year. Do you fucking take this jump and see if you can fucking get out of it, or you just take the year? And that was a good question, because like part of you always goes, in your mind, you're picturing yourself landing, going right into a front flip. Like a front, like a tumble salt? Front
roll.
Somersault?
Roll.
Yeah, front roll.
Of course, dude.
And parkour. Pop it back up and keep running.
You'd have to parkour it.
But, man, the reality is, like, I don't know. I think when you're coming in hot, you might start to panic.
No, here's what would happen. Because the way you would have to do it. Here, here's the thing. I think these might be 10-foot ceilings here, but probably 9. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying 3 times the height of this.
Yeah.
One, just. Just the 9, just 9 feet, I would have a real debate, because I'm telling you, I wouldn't have had, like, dude, 9 feet would be a fucking problem, dude. Think about that. Think about how fucking high that is, Jay. And think about how you fell off a 4-foot stage and how high that was.
Yeah, it was higher than 4. I think it was like 5-foot stage. But it seemed so far. Now the guy reached up. The guy was like up like this, reaching.
Yeah, and he was a tall guy too. No, I think what would happen is I would be like, all right, what you got to do is you got to jump and you got to roll forward.
Yeah.
But I don't have control of my body like that. So I think I'd freak out and I would just fucking spike my head first into the ground.
I know what's Bobby saying here.
People usually survive falls from that height.
From what height? 9 feet?
It says 20 to 25 feet. People usually survive. Anything higher than that gets very fast.
I don't think, to me it was, even that jump doesn't feel like a lack of survival. I wasn't worried so much about dying from that jump. I was worrying about exactly like both ankles just snapping. And
if you jump from 30 feet, if you don't die, you're going to be severely injured.
Yeah, you're not running away from the cops.
Then I'll say it's less, then I'll say it was 20 to 25 feet because it wasn't something you're looking at. I think any fight that would be deadly, I think you would look right over and be like, yeah, no fucking way. You know what I mean? And also what you're landing on too. Grass versus like concrete, it's no question. You're like,
I don't know if it makes that much of a difference.
But your mental thing, when you jump, you may believe in the air when you're coming down on grass. You're thinking
those blades of grass are going to help.
Yes. More than
probably a detriment because they're going to make an idiot think it's going to be a softer landing.
Yeah, I'm going to do in the air. I'm just going to get like I'm going to already be laying down and see if I can land like that on my side. Hey, dudes, in my mind, I'm falling forever like a skydive, but it's so fast. That's the funniest, like how peaceful, like forget skydiving, but like the parachuting. Once they're parachuting, like the peaceful, slow descent. And if you're like near them when they're coming, like, go bring up video of people coming in on parachutes. If you're on the ground, you're like, whoa, dude, like it's coming so fast. You're like, that's with the parachute. So that's how much faster they were falling without that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm so terrified of heights. Like I couldn't do it. Like I do have like a thrill thing. Like I do like the sometimes like going really fast and fucking, you know, just, I understand the thrill of jumping out of something. When I'm on a roller coaster, I am like, wee, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? But like, I couldn't imagine just fucking jumping out of a plane and being like, now I'm trusting that this device is going to work. Doing a tandem, I could probably be convinced to do a tandem. Like if we were recording a TV show and they were like, all right, this is the bit, you guys are jumping out of a plane, I'd be like, all right, we're gonna fucking just do this, right? I think I could probably be convinced to do it, but I'm talking about jumping myself. I don't think
my body wouldn't do it. I think I may have said this before.
I start crying.
When I went up to the
be a great TV show,
the amphitheater in, I think it's Dallas or Austin rather, has it's attached to like a Formula One track. So out backstage, they have a thing. It's just an elevator that goes one stop. It's all the way up to the observatory of the F1 races. And when you get off, it's this huge platform. I'd say 70% concrete, and then it just becomes over like the deepest part out is as thick as the concrete glass or see-through, you know, to the ground all the way down, which is very, very far. And the first time I went out there, I was like, oh wow, that's got to look so cool. And I started walking to it, to that edge. And when I got to the edge of the glass, I almost fell forward because my upper body was like, I got to go see this. And when I got to the edge of that, my legs literally were like, yo, like, wait a second. By the end of the night, I was like laying on it, looking at it, but I had to like an animal, like feel it out. I didn't trust it at all. It was so fucking scary. Like, if I'm secure, I'm not afraid of heights at all. That's the thing. Oh, but really? I also tend to believe I'm far more athletic than I am. So I would make a dumb jump. It'd be exactly, my knees would just come out of my body, just shoot across the room.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm terrified of heights, no matter how safe it may seem. I did one of those things with James where you know, the skywalk things at the mall. Have you ever been, you know, where like they attach you to a thing and then, you know, it's like a little ladder and then you walk across a beam and from afar, it seems like nothing. I watched, there's 4-year-olds up there.
Yeah.
And they're like,
it looks like Timid at Ninja Warrior.
Jay? I mean, I'm talking about like, I froze to the point where like James already went across the plank. And I put my foot on one plank and I was like, oh no, I can't. And then I turn back and I let James do the entire course by himself.
Dude, me, that's fucking hilarious. And I was going to say, well, we should do to all it. I don't, we should, do you know down at Chelsea Piers, not Chelsea Piers, but even further downtown, one of those piers has trapeze. You can take a trapeze classes. Dude, me and you trying to hang upside. I mean, I would talk about like shaking and like said, frozen with fear. Like that could definitely happen to me in that kind of a situation. That, but that's what would happen to me. That's what my point of that was with an airplane. If you open that door, like getting, it would take me 2.5 hours to get my feet hanging out, knowing that it's like, you're not going out of this plane unless you jump out. You know what I mean? You could hang your legs out. I'd be like, oh, but it would take me hours to get there. Do you remember getting into a pool? It takes me 25 minutes to get into a pool.
Do you remember? Do you remember the movie Hook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's the scene where like he, where Hook first, Dustin Hoffman's Hook first finds out Peter's like now, you know, fucking Robin Williams is an adult. He's like, what? This is the my famous arch nemesis, Peter Pan. This is you, Peter? No, this can't be. And he's just like, this is pathetic. You're an old man now. And then he's got his kids in like a net, like on a thing. And he's like, I'll give you your kids if you could just simply go out, reach out your hand and touch them. And then he, Robin Williams climbs the thing and he's reaching out and like, you can see he's got to touch them. He's just got to touch them. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid being like, just touch them. What the fuck is wrong with you? Just touch them. They're your kid, you idiot. That's how I felt when I was on that first plank. Jamie walked across the fear that took over my body. And he was like, dad, just come. And I was like, come on, just do it. He want your little boy. Wants you to come. And I gave up. I looked him in the face and the look of disappointment. It was the same look that young Jack had in Hook. Pull up the scene from Hook if you
can. I'm glad you didn't snap. If it was a girl that was saying, he goes, shut up. I'm fucking pissed at you. I don't want to.
Doggy, the look on Jack's face, it was the same exact look of disappointment in my son's fucking eyes. It was brutal. Just truly brutal. Yeah. So let's see. No, this isn't the scene. This is after
he's got his mojo back.
Now he's got his Peter Pan mojo back. I feel like the producers don't even listen. I feel like they don't even listen. They just heard Hook.
Jump on mic for a second. Do you guys listen?
I feel like they just heard Hook. They heard Peter Pan. Then Hook, they said, oh,
scene,
shit.
Any scene will do. Here it is. Hook. Remember Hook?
They just pulled up the music video to Hook by Blues Travelers. And this is what you're looking for.
Don't worry about it, Bobby. It's okay. We've moved on. Let's move past it.
A friend of yours fell off a 4-story building roof and lived, broke several bones and lost all his teeth. Yeah, that's listen. Apparently the idea is the more you flop and not brace yourself, the more chance you have of surviving it. But I mean, even if you had time to think about it during the fall, do you know what I mean? Like I've always considered that, like having your chute not work at all. When you're skydiving and you realize still way into that beautiful part of the jump that like, this is it. Like these next 3 minutes are the end of your life.
That's can you still enjoy it? You take about 30 seconds to grieve the loss of your life. And then you're like, all right, let's have some fun.
He goes, all right, beautiful. Yeah. Cause let me see if I can go dive head first.
Well, that's what you'd want, right?
Do you think would your instincts kick in and still go like, I'm trying to go feet first or on all fours?
Oh, dude.
Or do you think you just start trying to get a running start as possible?
I feel like your legs going legs first, you're still going to die, but you're going to just die in a way more painful way. Just
from you might feel your bones breaking through your head.
Feet up.
Oh, it's excruciatingly over.
At least head first, you're like, it's just done.
Yeah. I think you're done no matter what. If you go feet first, your head's hitting the ground. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I like, know. And but even as short a period of time that is, if you don't like switch off like in that period of time, it's gonna be a split second of like the most you know, like if I were like, I'm gonna stab you in the gut, but it'll only last for like a fraction of a second, like it'd still be a brutal fraction of a second.
Right.
So what does that feel like? Yeah.
You want it to be over.
Over quickly, or you know, honestly, it depends on how far. Depends on how far that fucking fall is.
How far is that fucking fall? Should we talk?
Because you hear that people like pass out when they're falling out of planes, and then they live because their bodies go completely limp.
Falling out of planes?
Yeah. If you jump out of a plane
now, you're and dead hit no the ground, what, dude, you can go limp dead. As you want. No, he goes, you hey, man, how'd you survive that plane? How'd you start falling out of that plane? He goes, I went loosey goose.
You hear about people jumping out of planes and living all the time.
Yeah, he goes, I just flingled my arms around a little bit, all wavy. Have, and eventually
every single time you hear about someone jumping out of a plane and living, there was a parachute involved that worked, that functioned properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you look that up, people have fallen out of planes and survived.
It's nah, happened. Dude. No, I, dude, not a nope. fucking chance bet. In hell.
I mean, it was the plane cruising at 5 feet.
Loser chooses the other one's tattoo this weekend.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like a little tiny plane that like took off from the ground and like 20 feet in the air? They
no, I'm talking about like falling out of
a plane in the sky.
Flying in the sky.
Okay, other person picks the other person's tattoo.
Trampoline at the bottom.
Other person picks the other person's tattoo.
Okay.
Bobby? Also, fuck you, Byron. Jaguars have poor reliability. What is the farthest someone has fallen and survived? Guinness Book of Records. Serbian flight attendant Vesna Vulnovic, 30,000 feet when her plane crashed in 1970. You fucking.
How did she survive a 30,000?
It's not because here's the thing.
What's the story?
It's not. She went down with the plane and survived.
Yeah.
No.
She didn't fall out and survive 30,000 feet.
It's impossible. You are a missile going towards the ground. All of your body would explode. There's nothing left of you. If you hit a pool, people are obliterated by jumping off of bridges.
You could fall into a feather factory.
It doesn't matter, dude. You're going straight through that feather factory to hell.
Dude, she fell directly into the My Pillow factory.
Bobby, that's way too small.
There have been some incredible instances of people falling out of airplanes without parachutes and surviving. Take the story of Alan McGee, an American airman who survived a 22,000-foot fall from a damaged B-17 bomber over France in 1943, thrown clear from the aircraft and rendered unconscious. He fell 4 miles before crashing through the glass roof of the Saint-Nazaire train station, shattering in and miraculously surviving.
That's bullshit. 1943.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm getting your and you know what you're getting tattooed on you?
No,
a man I falling don't. Out of an airplane.
I'm not saying this is a long.
Yes, you are, dude.
A skydiver?
Yeah, no, just a man falling from an airplane is your fucking tattoo.
This is bullshit. Give me one where there's some
the all-time record without a parachute belongs to Yugoslavian flight attendant Vesna Volanovic. She was the sole survivor of a bomb placed on board a JAT flight. She was also, it blew up. She survived the bomb and the fall.
Oh, by the way, she was trapped by a food cart inside a section of the aircraft fuselage. No, I'm telling you, these things are
talking. She's inside the plane.
Yeah, they're both talking. Oh, no, not the other guy. The 22,000 feet guy went through a fucking glass roof of something.
How does it make any sense?
It doesn't. It's not real. No, in 1972, where there could be evidence of this, is bullshit.
Into 1,000 little Yugoslavian.
Oh yeah, don't. No, he dropped 22,000 feet, but you know how he lived? He got real lucky and fell into glass.
Yeah, he went through glass.
Right. So that made it all better.
Yeah, he's seen minor injuries.
Oh, you know what broke his fall? One of those spiky beds.
Bed of nails.
Wow. Look at this. Huh. Known occasions where people survive falls without a parachute. This is happening all over the place. Wow, dude.
Well, I don't know about all over the place, but there's 5 examples.
I mean, this
not one. Seven, where's the American? 8.
Right, Alan McGee.
Classic McGee.
Nick, or the great Nicholas Alchemy.
Is that the tattoo I should get right there, Lewis?
Wait, Bear Grylls? The famous Bear Grylls?
Bear Grylls survived the sixth. Now let's hear his bullshit story. That's bullshit. All the way to the top.
Double or nothing. There's got to be an angle here.
There's bullshit, dude. None of this is real. It's impossible, dude.
22,000 feet, dude.
No one's ever survived jumping off a New York City like rooftop.
Do you think they hit the ground and rolled like parkour?
They stuck the landing. They landed and put their arms up.
And then they just went into like more parkour shit. Like then they jumped up a building.
What? Yeah, fucking was that Assassin's
Creed? Bear Grylls was a base jump accident, and it's on film.
What? Get the fuck out of here. He survived a 16,000-foot base jump accident?
Yes, there's an answer.
He's traveling the world, enjoying this most extreme of extreme sports.
Matt is getting ready to jump with his friends. Off he goes. He takes about 6 and a half.
Wait, this is Extreme Survival Porn on camera. This is his show.
Hold on, I'll find it. Give me a second.
Yeah, that's his show on Extreme Things. And maybe... Yeah, I don't even know. Let's do plugs real quick while he's looking that up, because we got a little time here.
Okay.
Key West, first, this weekend. West.
Hell yeah. Me and Lewis, everybody. That
tomorrow
is
night, if you're watching live.
27th and 28th. Yep. Oh, yes. If you're watching live, there's one more show tomorrow night. Come fill that fucking place up, man. Let's have some fun in Key West. Comedy Key West. My first time there. Lewis's first time there, right?
Yeah. Never been to Key West, Florida in general. Here it's cool. People tell me now that it is, like, it's just day drinking. Like, it's just like drunk Floridians that, like, walk around from bar to bar and they're all just getting hammered and fucking...
Yeah, I've been there once, and it was more, it's like Miami, but a little bit more tropical feeling and like islandy or whatever, nice. But it's like American still. So it's kind of like the best of both of those. Like,
nice.
You're in an island, but you're still fucking, you know, without all the poverty.
Very cool.
Yeah. No one wants to look at that shit. After that, everybody, I have Bert Kreischer's Fully Loaded Comedy Tour coming up. That is June 16th through the 19th, and then resumes again the 23rd. To the 26th. After that, coming up in July, I have Tulsa Comedy Club, Albany Funny Bone, Cincinnati Funny Bone, Helium Comedy Club, Buffalo, Omaha, all these dates coming up. Oh, a Kid Rock concert we're all going to go to. Nice. We have to wear our MAGA stuff for that. Of course, check out the SDR show right here on the Gas Digital Network, and check out the Bonfire 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Me and Dan Soder at the Bonfire, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. And my special filming at Skankfest. I'm so fucking stoked.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I got a lot of live stuff coming up, guys. June 3rd, I will be in Dallas. June 4th in Fort Worth, or vice versa. I don't know. Either way, Hyenas Comedy Clubs, come the fuck out. It's going to be a ton of fun. I got Jamie Kilstein as a special guest on those shows, which should be really, really fun. Then June 9th, I'll be in the Ontario Improv, Ontario, California. June 10th and 11th at the San Diego American Comedy Company, which those shows are going to be fucking killer. Always have a blast there. Then I'm on the goddamn Comedy Jam at the Comedy Store on June 12th. Just go to lewisofskanks.com. I have a bunch of other dates coming up all throughout June. Soul Joles in Jeffersonville. I'll be at the Emas Theater in Emas, Pennsylvania. This is with Zach Amico. Albany, New York on the 25th with Zach Amico as well. And then me and Aaron Berger kicking off the Offend Everyone Tour July 4th weekend at the Creaking Cave in Austin, Texas. And we're going everywhere. We have like 25 cities on the books right now. We're announcing the entire tour I think by the end of this week. So look out for that. If we will be everywhere. You will be able to see me and Aaron Berger on tour this summer, unquestionably, all throughout the fall leading up to Skankfest. Skankfest.net is a website. We are looking for volunteers. Tickets are completely sold out, but if you guys still want to be a part of Skankfest, you can volunteer and help out. So go to Skankfest.net and sign up for the volunteer page right now. And subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. Subscribe to Gas Digital. Use the promo code LOS. Get the entire on-demand library, all ad-free, uncensored in one place. Check out both my other podcasts, Real Ass Podcast and the Yo MMA Rap with me and Dave Smith.
Hell yeah. I think I'm all sold out. I'm all sold out for Reno, which I'm leaving to go there tomorrow, but I'm recording a live podcast, which I will put out. So everyone can check that out, Live Part of the Problem from Reno, with Robbie the Fire Bernstein, of course. And then Chicago sold out as well. I'll be at Freedom Fest. I'm coming back there this year. I think that's in July, so you could still get tickets for that. And I'm setting up other gigs for June and July in Philly.
Yeah, These Colors Don't Run Festival.
Hell yeah. If they'll have me. they got enough. They got the right budget. We'll do it. Setting up a gig in Philly with Robbie the Fire Bernstein, too. First time back in Philly in I think 2 years, so... Looking forward to that one. So Jay's people, come on out.
Yeah.
Part of the problem, Yo MMA Rap, right here at Gas Digital.
Hell yeah.
Somebody yelled out something during one of my shows. And then something, I was like, that's something, I think I was like, that's something more noted for Dave Smith. And the people are like, yeah.
My people are strong.
Well, yeah. The same way that I find it weird that Andrew Schultz and Tim Dillon are legitimately famous, or Nate, like legitimately famous. Like, it's not, people think I'm hating on them when I say that. I'm just pontificating that it's weird that my friends are famous and it's hard to see them that way. Cause I've watched these guys go from barking outside of shitty comedy clubs or like, but it's difficult for me to accept the fact that Dave is a force in the libertarian movement. Like, it's just silly to me. I'm like, shut up.
In the same way that it's difficult for you to accept that those guys are famous, it's difficult for you to accept that I have fans at all.
Yes, like any fans. So like, Dave's not famous, but somebody believes Dave's horseshit. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I mean, those guys.
Tim Dillon did something with Rick Rubin the other day.
I know, I saw that. Rick Rubin, but you like, dude, when we're going over like Skankfest, even when we have like our lineups, like I'm like, we have Tim Dillon, but I don't like, I don't get excited for Tim. Like, that's not a knock on Tim. Like, Tim's my friend. I don't see Tim as being, but Tim is a massive draw. But the one we had fucking like Gilbert Gottfried on the lineup, right? Like, that was like, I was like, oh, we got Gilbert, dude. He's a legend. But the amount of people that quote unquote give a shit, you know, obviously before he died, but the amount of people that give a shit about Tim Dillon over Gilbert Gottfried, it's just like, you know, 100-fold. I don't know what the difference is and what they do on the road, but it's difficult for me to sort of wrap my mind around that. And that's the same thing with Dave. Like, well, people talk about Dave in a very serious way. And it's not a knock on you, Dave. It's just, you're my buddy. Like, I don't know, dude, we fucking used to smoke blunts and drink 40s on a stoop, and to that anybody would,
we just robbed a bodega last week together.
It's fucking crazy that it's genuinely,
now I'm the guy
weird
kicking people off of my stoop.
It's really true.
Smoking a blunt. Get out of here.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? You see kids smoking weed in your neighborhood. Now you're like, what are you doing? There's kids here.
Guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our longtime amazing sponsors. If you know Legion of Skanks, you know Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom has been a marquee sponsor of Skankfest multiple times, and they are, of course, home of the $60 kilo, which is such a great sell. You don't even need all that other nonsense. You get to buy something in a kilo. In 2022, nobody should go without Kratom. What are you, still doing heroin like an asshole? Yo Kratom is committed to getting you the kilos of Kratom that you need for just $60. It's the Yo Kratom guarantee, $60 kilos. So feel secure that Yo Kratom prices are staying at $60 kilos your entire life. Don't stress. All the stresses in the world, you need a little bit of Kratom.
Yeah.
Don't worry. That price is staying the same.
Do you feel a little bit of anxiety? I have an idea. Maybe you snort some Kratom.
Let's get nice with some Kratom. I don't know for sure, but I think with the consistency, you could probably melt it down and mainline it. Don't do it, but I think you could do it.
Can we Google on today's show what would happen if you took a Kratom bump? I mean, we're doing that, obviously. Don't do that until we do this next segment on the show. Don't
get back to
your Kratom.
Hang tight. We'll get back to you with some
more. Get your key out. Get your key out.
You're going to need to have some Kratom either way, so go to YoKratom.com and order yourself a $60 kilo. Hang tight on the bumping it. We'll get back to you.
Because I know you all want to open it with a switchblade where you dig into the bag and do a little zip off the old switchblade. But wait a second.
And, or you know what you could do? You could take it, you could put it in a Kleenex, like take like a fucking, like a big old fucking note of it, throw it in a Kleenex, twist it, shove it right up your ass, let that Kleenex melt away.
Right in your keister.
Don't do that yet. Don't do it. But
I know self-control isn't your strong suit. You're a Kratom addict. But I'm going to ask you to hang on. Hang tight.
Just do it the way you've been doing it for right now, and then we'll be, just listen. You know what? We should probably get back into it. Hang on. Find it. Keep it handy, but give it a sec here. All right, let's get back into it. You mentioned going to Soul Joel's. Soul Joel twice now, I must say. When the first thing happened, when I got yanked off stage, Page Six asked me to talk about it, and I was like, no. And then when the Page Six thing came out, like, Soul Joel talked to them and gave them a whole thing. And then I was like, all right, you know what? It happened at his club. Sure, that's fine. I guess I kind of get it. But then Will Smith slaps Chris Rock, and Fox News affiliate, like for the nighttime news or morning show on Fox in Philly, was like, do you want to come into studio tomorrow to talk about what happened to you in relation to like what happened with Chris Rock? And I was like, well, one, I live in New York, but two, I'm like, no, I'm not really.
It's not my story.
Looking at, yeah, I'm like, no, not at all. And then my cousin texts me the next day. She goes, you made the news today. And I went, what? And she sends me a video of it, and it's Soul Joel on the new morning news show that I said I was going to do. And they're showing the video of
as
me
it relates. Yeah, yeah. That's
and they're
funny.
Showing the video of me getting like yanked off stage again. I'm like, hey, dude, stop being a fucking jerk off whore. That's you come up like
Soul
an asshole.
Soul Joel's going to make a career off of you getting yanked off stage.
Well,
he's selling t-shirts.
We did say it's
just Jay
time
getting yanked off.
I just kind of, it's whatever, it is what it is. But he said the thing one time where he was like, ah, you know, it was good for you, it was good for me. I go, well, it wasn't good for me necessarily. Yeah,
nothing good for you. There was there was no upside. It was a cool story.
And I have a bit about it. That's great. But it's like, I would have had a bit about something else. Do you know what I mean? Like it should have not happened.
You could write a new bit without risking breaking your neck.
Yeah. And you're also like, and dude, why do you want to keep announcing that this, something like this happens at your place? It's a weird thing to latch onto. Odd, man.
I want to be careful because I work his club and I like Soul Joel. We've known Soul Joel a long time, but you know, that will be one of the most important things that ever happens in his life.
Sure. Yeah, I know.
But I'm not going to knock the guy for just sort of milking to like a big moment at his club. And maybe not, maybe some other crazy shit will happen at his club, but you know,
a lot of these guys knock the guy and then say the most insulting thing you could possibly think of saying.
Well, no,
this is it for you, kid. Enjoy it. Top of the mountain.
Here's your moment. Here's your moment. Big J almost being murdered at your club. No, it's not a knock on, like, look, you know, he's playing a different game than you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
got it, but it's like he's really taking the ownership over the thing where it's like they're showing the video again. And he's like, yeah. You know, and he also, the thing, he's like, I said, do you want to throw him out? But Jay, you know, he likes to talk to the audience. And it's just like this, the thing is like, Joel, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Stop being a whore.
Well, this is the thing with club owners in general. And this is not even just him. Like the age of social media has sort of given and you see this with every comedy club owner. They want to sit there in the club and be cool. And they want to be a part of it. And they want to like, they've convinced themselves that they are the important variable. And this, like, that's not how Joel feels. Probably not. Joel, I think he gets what his show is, and it's a great show, by the way. It's an awesome room. People should support it.
Sure,
but very often you see these clubs, and I don't want to name names because I like these guys. I like all these guys, but almost every club owner sits in the back of the fucking club at a table and they want to fucking pontificate and have comedians stand around them and act like one of the guys. And the reality is once everyone walks away, everyone goes, yeah, look at this fucking jerk off. It's not, nobody really thinks the club owners are actually cool. They just pretend to because they want to work the club.
No, there's a few I actually really fucking like, dude. I think Mark up in, you just did that, Dave, right? Rochester Providence,
at the Comedy Connection.
Oh, Providence, those guys are cool. By the way, I should say that I do like. I'm not saying that I don't like.
Yeah, but they don't really do
because
that,
those guys don't do saying. That. Those guys come those in the green room talk shit.
You
wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that those guys are a busboy or if they're the owner of the club.
Yes,
I'm talking about the guys who want to sit there and let everyone know that they own the fucking place.
Of course,
they're the major player here. They're the important ones. You have to kiss their ass a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. You're right. It's one of those two things. But it's who do you fall into? Like I said before, the other person I can announce who took something like that happened at their club and try to turn it. Is that piece of shit dude out in Naples now, that old Marco Island gig, Captain Brian. But that guy's a fucking, and he's the guy that, like, something happened there with Ahmed or something, or there was like some phone call made to the police, or there was some police call or something, and they have that like up in the club, like, you know, like it's their thing. It's like written on some board. It's like Ahmed had the cops called on him for terroristic threats or some, you know what I mean? It's like some weird thing like that. Because some audience member did something weird, I guess, from the club. But, like, you know what I'm saying, though? It's like they're the ones they rest their head on, like, ah, how badass is that?
I think to Lewis's point, though, it's like, look, dude, if you're, like, in the world of showbiz, even extending that down to, like, the level of a comedy club, if you're behind the scenes, just, like, stay behind the scenes.
Right. There's like, but do you want to be lumped in with, like, that guy I'm saying, Marco Island guy, and Craig Glazer? And, you know, like a Soul Joel, or do you want to be like the guys where we said the club, like Corey and Dave, like good dudes, just fucking, they come, they hang.
They're just humble. You wouldn't know that they're the owners unless you know they're the owners, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Antoine from fucking DC, you know?
Antoine fucking rules.
Great. Like you were just humble. Not like you wouldn't know you would think he's an employee. The energy is like,
he's just like a really cool guy who gives you a check at the end of a week.
I don't know. I feel terrible. What a cool guy. Feel bad, I'm blanking on her name right now, but I want to say Carol, but the lady who runs the Omaha improv, like the staff, it's one of those few clubs where the staff fucking loves the owner, you know what I mean? Like when she comes in there, I'm like, do you guys hate when the boss is here? I go, nah, she rules, she's great. Like, so like it's definitely like a place to place, but I'm saying it's where you want to be lumped into. I'd rather be one of the cool places.
One of the things that would always drive us crazy, right, and there's a lot of people who did this, there's a lot of like bookers and owners of clubs who would do this, which like, it's just, look, it's one thing. Look, a booker or an owner can certainly say, I want to work you at this club, or I don't want to work you at this club, right? Like, that's their call to make. But when they'd start telling comics like what to do, it always like rub comics the wrong way. And then, but no one really ever says it to them because they're in this world where everyone wants, all the comics they talk to want to work that club.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, but it's always like a thing where you're like, dude, how do you know what the fuck someone's supposed to do?
That's what happened,
like,
that's what happened with me in Eastville back in the day. And I work Eastville now, right? Even though the last three times I booked shows at Eastville, I've canceled because from my house to Eastville, it's an hour and 40 minute drive. And when I say yes to it, I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll come into the city
until it's time to leave.
And then I'm like, this is crazy. An hour and 40 minutes. They couldn't, there's not an amount of money in the world that Marco could pay me to drive an hour and 40 minutes of traffic to go to Eastville.
I mean, there is certainly an amount of money he could pay you.
$200. If he gave me simply $200, I'd do it, I think.
There's an amount. It's a very reasonable amount, but he's not.
But no, that's what happened with Eastville was he like sat me down and like wanted to like go over my jokes, and he's like, all right, tell me this joke, and he like wanted to go over like the punchlines. And to be fair, I was a very young comic. I wasn't very good at comedy yet.
But
right?
The
I
other
was,
thing was, that makes it worse, by the way, is that he used to do comedy.
He was wasn't a good comic. He was a terrible comedian.
He was terrible. Comedian. Right. So it's like,
so he, it was just not his place to be giving anybody advice. The reality is you like other comics should. Right. But even then, and this is what we've talked about this ad nauseum, Jay, you're not going to, there's no advice you're going to give a young comic that's going to turn them from stinking to being good. The only thing that's going to do that is time, reps, getting on stage over and over again, and just fucking biting down your mouthpiece and fucking working. That's it. And that's the only advice that you really can give. Now, a veteran comic is, hey, dude, here's a good punchline for that. Or maybe that's not good. You know,
a veteran comic could tell a good young comic, like, hey, dude, you're really good. I don't think you should do this. I think you should do it like this or something.
To get away you could direct somebody away from bad habits, but you can't make them funny people.
No, it's not going to happen. And there's definitely nothing that a booker of a club should be going over somebody's act by joke. It's crazy. It was so self-important. So that's what when I got offended in the middle of it, though. And I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'd literally rather not work this fucking club than have you go over my jokes. And then he was like, this is where you're at. This is why you're at where you're at in your career. I was like, what do you mean? I just got Beatrice pregnant. Doing all right. Doing it. You got your waitress pregnant. I'm fucking working here every weekend. I'm not doing that bad.
Doing all right. Doing all right for what I am. I'll tell you,
I'm working here every weekend. I mean, that's over now.
The other thing, but I also love, this is the best move too. And a young comic will fall into this a lot. I certainly did. And Dave, you kind of saw it with, if you recall, when we had the D. Lee thing, when he didn't pay us. Uh-huh. But it's the thing of like, because before he didn't pay us, he did this move to me, which
I'm still mad about that.
It was what I learned from it. Because Craig Glazer would do it too. When they get you on their side while they're telling you something else a comic did, and even though that comic's technically right, you just kind of go like, you're so happy to just be working that you just take the side of the owner in the conversation. It means nothing in the world. But I remember like Craig Glazer, he was like, yeah, TJ Miller was like such a close friend of mine. And then last time he came here, you know, it's like we have a new location now, so we're figuring things out. You know, I paid him $20,000. He goes, I gave him 10, and I told him I was going to give him the other 10 in like 3 weeks when everything came through. And he left like pissed off, and it's like, what the fuck? I thought we're friends, dude. And you're like, Craig, fucking pay him the money. You know what I mean? Like, what? Like, what's
well, you're also such a young comic that when you hear those numbers, I remember the first time I heard
that. Yeah, I go, what a fucking dick, dude. This guy can't wait 3 weeks for $10,000. I can't believe he didn't just do it for the original 10 anyway. Yeah, why would you even pay him what he deserved?
I would have said, just keep the other 10, dude.
Yeah, fuck, don't send it to him. What's he going to do, complain more? It's so, D. Lee did that with me. He called me on my, it was so funny. It was so out of nowhere, Dave, if you could even vaguely remember this, because I told you. When he called me and he was like, oh, man, he goes, just got off the phone with Toure. Like, he's beefing with me because, like, you know, when he came down, I had to pay him, like, you know, a week down the road. So I FedExed him a package with the check in it. And then Toure was like, you know, I'm like, where are you at? The FedEx guy is looking for you. And Toure's like, I'm on a plane. I told you I was flying out. And it's like, Toure, you didn't say. You said you were going to be home for the package. So it's like, now he doesn't have the money. He's like coming at me because like he thinks I'm like coming funny with the money. It's like, we're supposed to be boys, man. You help boys out, you know? You need a place to come. You're not on the road a bunch. I put you down here to headline. You know what I mean? Gives you all that, like, what I've done for you already so he can not pay you at all. It's fucking wild. And you just kind of get lumped into that. It's like, why is Tua acting like that? Like, if you say you're going to be there for the package, I guess the money's not that important to you, Tua, right? If you're not there for the package.
Like, the answer is so obviously just you're supposed to pay people at the agreed upon time.
You pay when I leave, yeah, when it's over. Unless we have a thing where you send it to somebody, but
dude, that guy screwed me out of $500. And I mean, I think for it to hurt as much right now, you'd have to screw me out of like $100,000. Is how broke I was at the time that $500, like not getting it, was like, well, then that's it for me. Like I'm completely done.
The gig was all out of pocket. The gig was, we spent money to do the gig.
Yeah. Flights, I could barely afford my next month if I got that $500, but like not getting it, you were like, well, that's just, this is a hill that I'll never climb out of.
I think at the time your mom may have even fronted you the money for the flight because we were going to get money.
Well, you have to make the story even less sexy than me just being devastated by $500. I don't remember. I think I might have.
You were 25 years old, I think.
Yeah. It was whatever it was a nightmare. It was now like,
it must be nice to have a mom to front you money, you fucking silver spoon fucking Jew. You make me sick, dude.
Your mom, I don't even know if that's
your
true
mom,
or not.
Your mom had $140? Fuck you, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Silver from Blasius Auto Group just emailed me. I'm test driving my car on Tuesday.
Wow.
I imagine it's Justin Silver's brother, his long lost brother.
Hey, I speak Jaguar.
What's up?
I speak Jaguar.
Hey, there's one language I speak. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
You get the Jaguar, though, you are going to have a woman take it doggy style with the Jaguar. You're going to fuck your car.
What do you mean?
The Jaguar in the front? You're going to have a woman accept that into her.
Oh, the actual little Jaguar piece.
Yes.
No, dude. No pussy's getting on my Jaguar.
No, you put a condom on it. Only safe shit, dude. You don't know what's on that Jaguar thing. You don't know what's in that pussy. For Christ's sake, what's in that pussy? Oh, hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Legion of Skanks. Let's talk about one of our amazing sponsors. That's Zippix. As you can hear, I'm cool as a cucumber. And why? Because I am coursing with nicotine from a goddamn toothpick. It's insane. Nicotine,
a toothpick company that pays us a pretty penny, if you ask me.
A pretty nice penny, enough that I could stay laced in nicotine. Zippix comes in 6 awesome flavors. You can do it anywhere. You're not allowed to vape or smoke. It's a goddamn toothpick. There's no smell. There's no smoke. There's no cigarette butts.
And they're pretty potent. They're fucking potent, dude. You put it in your mouth. Yeah. In 10 seconds, you're going, I feel like I just smoked an entire... You feel like Pinocchio when he smoked the cigar with all the donkeys?
Yeah. If you've never smoked or you're a kid, this will definitely make you like lightheaded.
Unquestionably. There's no smell. There's no smoke. There's no hiding cigarette butts. There's no annoying stains on your fingers or your clothes. There's no burning holes in your mattress or the ceiling of your car.
Or your girlfriend's lower back. Oh!
Your child's forearms when he doesn't act how you want him to act. You can't do it with Zippix.
I'll tell you what, though. I used to try to put cigarettes out on my kid's forehead when they were bad, but Zippix works just as well. A little poke to the forehead.
Oh yeah, dude. It'll get them. They'll learn their lesson.
So, hey, guys, if you head over to Zippix Toothpicks, Zippix Toothpicks.com, use the promo code SKANK10. That's SKANK10. You're going to get 10% off your order today. One more time, ZippixToothpicks.com. Promo code SKANK10. 10% off your order today. Get that nicotine up in you. All right, where were we? Do you want to go over some of these woke superhero stories? You were telling me about in the beginning.
Sure.
What was the guy you... What was the original one?
Yeah. I don't remember. What was the original? She-Hulk. It was Disney. Oh, yeah, She-Hulk. So, yeah, they were like, I guess She-Hulk's black. Is that what it is?
No, she's green. So she's the first woman of color.
I know, you fucking asshole.
Well, she's not black. Green. The actress is not black.
It was a white chick?
Yes.
But they're calling her a woman of color because she's green?
It's just a funny gag that they did. It was this clickbait.
I believe you are the one that said that, Lewis.
No, that's not true. You thought it was a bad joke I was making?
Why
no.
did you think she was I black? I really was, did. Do you think she's black because she's big and angry?
No, I thought
she's loud.
She's big, loud, and angry. Breaks everything.
She's like, always angry.
That's what I do when black ladies start talking in a movie theater. I go, oh, she's hulking out.
Oh, here we go. All right, calm down, She-Hulk.
You're right. I won't like you when you're angry.
When you pitched the bit, Lewis, you said She-Hulk's the first superhero woman of color. Get it? She's green. Get it? I thought that was
I think I might have made a bad joke on top of the fact that this is a real article that I saw.
Remember when China was She-Hulk in a porn? They just fuck her green paint off.
Yeah.
You can't keep firm the character in pornography. Everyone's like, her pussy looks like the Ultimate Warrior after a match. Her pussy looks like the Ultimate Warrior after a match. Hey.
Pull up She-Hulk on the screen. Can we see her, Bob?
Also, pull up She-Hulk's fucked pussy and then bring up the Ultimate Warrior if you wouldn't mind.
I have the trailer if you want
to
see that.
Let's see. I'd love to see it. I think she's black. I think that's where the story came from. Maybe she's not.
It's a new movie coming out?
No, it's a new series, She-Hulk.
Why is it so it's so small on my screen?
Why is it? It's not small on my screen. It's regular size. No,
it's the whole screen.
I got it.
That was all you, Jay? Look, the technology police just showed up to arrest Jay.
Oh, hey, guys. Sorry. I fixed it. It's okay. I don't want any trouble.
Get on the floor.
It's a trial by fire. Who's going to protect the world if not people like you?
She's not even that jacked. That's my problem.
Wait, what?
I'm Jennifer Walters. I'm a lawyer. I have great friends. Can we get some shots, please?
Is she a woman of color? She looks white. She's a lesbian.
We just started a
maybe Latina?
Human. Is she a Latina?
Law division.
Maybe Halsey's of some sort.
I'm the fucking Hulk Holmes.
We didn't ask for this, but you still got to deal with it. Your transformations are triggered by anger and fear.
The transformations happen once a month for 4 days.
But here's the good news. You can't get pregnant during that time.
Cream Pie City, you know what I mean?
Uh-oh. Busting all inside.
To be a normal, anonymous lawyer.
Can you tell us where She-Hulk is?
Jen, you're a story now. Girl, your ass looks crazy right now.
That makes me angry for some reason.
You could be an Avenger. Oh, I'm not a superhero. That is for
She's
billionaires
got big feet. That's why I don't like, dude, tall chicks always have big ass feet. Now that I'm older and I like sucking on toes, you ever with a chick with fucking big old toes? Ugh.
I'm sure.
Any women over 5'7" have big goofy feet.
I'm not understanding She-Hulk in general, though.
You don't get it.
She gets slightly larger, but she lives life as Hulk all the time. Now the Hulk.
I now have the strength and stature of a man.
He's just a normal dude.
Like, why can the Hulk smile and be playful?
She still can't slam dunk a basketball.
She could clap on the backboard, though.
She's layup city.
The actress is Austrian, German, and what?
Polish.
Oh, she's not. Yeah, she's not black at all. What is that? Why is it a woman of color then? And Ukrainian.
Maybe there's just one in there. There's a woman of color as her best friend.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I did just make a bad joke. Maybe I don't remember anything that I just said.
You know what?
But she does seem like a lesbian, right?
Well, they've done a bunch of woke thing. I think Robin might be gay in something now.
Well, the one that you brought up, Jay, was Harvey Dent was black in the movies.
Well, Lewis said that. Billy Dee Williams.
Well, that was the first ever. And I remember being, when did the first Batman come out? 1989. I remember being 7 years old and being infuriated that they would make Harvey Dent black.
Really? Was did my you know the character already?
My first thought, I was like, how fucking dare you?
Did you know the character? You knew the character? I was going
to
say.
No, but I could sense a black person wasn't supposed to be there.
Was plugged in there?
What is happening?
Goes, this feels like an affirmative action hire, Billy D. Lando Calrissian.
I'm just sort of over the caring about them wokeifying things, because half the reason they do it is just to get people talking. It doesn't really matter. The whole go woke, go broke thing is not true. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's such wishful thinking.
It's because
like,
it rhymes.
And they go, ah, dude. And like whenever they have one example of it, they're like, there's the proof. You go woke, you go broke. Like
Comedy
you
know Central gets it a lot.
Who's gone woke? every major corporation.
Every one of them.
They seem to be doing all right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the can I tell you why? Because
Christmas card commercials that have three gay couples at a black people's party. Shut up.
Well, here's the thing. Like,
shut the fuck up.
Because people that are on the right typically aren't going to boycott a product because they don't agree with their social message, whereas people on the left will.
That's so, it's part of the reason
like,
why.
I like Starbucks. I don't. They can fucking have trannies in every commercial, and I'm still gonna go get a fucking latte at Starbucks. Sure. It means nothing to me. They could have an advertising campaign where they say fuck Luis J. Gomez. He's a fucking piece of shit. You should fucking kill him. And I would still go to Starbucks. Oh, that's how little I care.
This is such a mood for a latte.
Well, the thing is, right, and I've like argued with right wingers about this shit before, where like they'll be trying to, you know, cancel someone on the left because they got them on saying, you know, some tweet from 12 years ago or whatever. And I'm like, oh, don't become everything you hate now. Now you're just as bad as them if you're doing this. But then they'll say back, which is a fair point, as they go, yeah, but if we don't do it too, then we just lose because they're going to keep doing it. So it is like this, it draws everyone into this awful thing where you're like, look, that's the reality. What you just said, that's why they go woke and that's why they don't go broke from it, is because the one side will fucking show up with picket signs and really organize against you and the other side just won't.
Yeah.
But which side are you going to pick?
They just don't care enough.
Which side are you
going to pick? They're too busy being racist and looking at their property.
Yes. Yeah, really? Okay. Here's a picture of ethnic people drinking coffee. Who gives a shit?
Like, really, I don't give a shit, dude. It's like it'll be a Domino's commercial and the delivery guy's like fucking trans fucking woman with a fucking like all right, dude, that doesn't happen. There's no trans fucking delivery driver. That's like such a not real representation of who's delivering pizzas for McDonald's or
if it makes you feel better, any homeless person I've ever seen jerking their cock inside of a Starbucks because they let everybody in now has been white.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's right.
It's a nice story.
That's right. Very nice story.
Yeah, I'm so glad that
they keep blacks out, even the homeless.
You remember that before the pandemic, that was the thing that happened. That was a huge thing.
Kicking those kids out in Philly.
Yeah, we're gonna fucking let everyone use the bathrooms now. If you're in Starbucks, whether you're spending money or not, you're a customer and you can use those bathrooms. And then the pandemic happened, and that sort of like nobody really talked about it. I don't even know if that's still their policy, but it was kind of ironic that nobody was allowed in Starbucks for fucking months years rather. But that was like, I argued with Damian Lemon on Jim and Sam about it. And I was like, I'm not trying to be racist here. This has nothing to do with black or white. I was like, if you just go into a business and you're sitting there, you're not buying anything, I think they should kick you out.
You go, I'm not trying to be racist. That's how effortless it is for me. It just comes natural.
No, the problem is then they do the math. They do the math themselves and they go, well, who is likely to be loitering in a Starbucks? It's black people. So you're being racist. I was like, no, I'm not even seeing color. I didn't even get there. I'm saying I don't give a fuck if it's a grandma. If they're not spending money and it's my business, you're not using my fucking bathroom. Simple as that.
Right. But they said they overcorrected and they had to like go back. You're right. Because I'll tell you, I went to Chicago. It was the only 24-hour Starbucks I've ever seen. So when you get done the Old City zany shows, on the walk back to the hotel, there's a 24-hour Starbucks. And it used to be the coolest thing. And the last time, at least the last time that I was there, it was just like overrun inside. I mean, not giving a fuck, like feet, like barefoot up on the chairs. Like fucking, like, I mean, literally just the grossest shit happening inside, and they just think they can't do anything about it.
Well, I watched an SNL sketch on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing, and it's terrible. They did
a bad job on
they that. Can't attack Amber Heard, so they can't really like make it like that funny. Like, they're not trying to like victim blame at all. They're trying to like keep everything like even, so it's just not very good. But I remember the angle on it, it's almost racist. Who's the black kid that's on the show that's been on forever?
Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's like we have footage of one of Johnny Depp's employees finding the shit in the bed. And then he comes out and he's like, Jimmy Jams. And that's what that's the sketch, is him literally just cooning for white people laughing at him acting like a black guy. You don't even have to watch. We don't have to watch it. It's fine. The point, it was pretty funny though, because a black girl comes in too. And she's like, what? Because they find the poop. And she's like, what's wrong with these white people? And I remember just thinking, and this, look, I'm neutral. I'm in the middle. I'm Puerto Rican. Okay. Is it typical of white people to shit in places? Is that like a typical thing? It's like, oh my God, white people are regularly just shitting in beds or shitting in public.
I don't think regularly, but I think
every video that I've ever seen on WorldStar, on where it's a person shitting in the middle of a fucking Popeyes, it's always some crazy black bitch that they wouldn't let her use the bathroom. And she's like, well, you know what? I'm going to shit right here and I'm going to smear it on the walls. Every single time. And by the way, I don't think it's typical of black people, but it's also not typical of white people. It's not really typical of anybody.
It's not
it's pretty thing. Atypical behavior.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir.
But if you're going to assign it to one race.
Well,
I will say if I was going to assign shitting in public to one race, I would actually put that on white people more probably.
No way.
Yeah.
All right now, Google. There's a famous viral video of a white lady shitting in Tim Hortons. Yes, that is a famous one. You're right. But there's also like 30 videos.
Yeah, we're not saying white people don't do it better. We're just saying what's more likely.
If you've ever been to a Tim Hortons, you understand.
Yeah, their donuts are eh.
No, their donuts are eh.
They're A.
Their donuts are A. Donuts are A.
Your donuts are A. Hey, bud.
Come on, folks. Most offensive podcast center.
Dude, you and fucking Berg are gonna get yoked on the road together.
Yeah, dude. I'm in it now, dude. I've been running every single morning. Every day I've run for the past week. I did good yoga three times in the past week. Doing jujitsu. Me and Ellis have a date for our fight, looks like.
Next thing you got to do is figure out how to jump, and you're the triple threat.
I can't believe we didn't do a long jump contest at Skanks on Monday.
We'll do it this one. We have Derek and Temple. They'll fucking destroy us in long jumps.
Oh, they're going to destroy us, but it's more they should be judging me versus you in a long jump versus Dave. Well,
you don't need a judge for it, Jay. That's pretty...
I think you just mark where you land.
There's no judges.
I'm saying let him commentate. Short one. You let him commentate is my point.
Fine, I'll give it a commentate. Fine.
I don't know. I don't know if I've done this since I was a kid. If I've ever done this, but I have a feeling I'm going to beat you guys at it. I mean, I just don't think this is your strength.
Yeah, Dave Crow, you fucking noodle ass. Yeah, you're gonna fucking you're gonna fly
Dave's
across.
Gonna win
I just,
for
if
sure,
I just but... jump up, the wind will carry me at least like a few feet.
No, this is really about me and Jay. And Jay, yeah, I should be able
no,
to beat
Dave
Jay.
But Dave still dust us. It'd be the funniest.
I should be able to beat Jay in this.
With what you did the other day, are you gonna train till then?
I think if I could figure out the momentum and how to get my body moving forward, I could do it.
Oh, okay, well, that's not what you said.
I think you're doing this motion right now makes me not confident in you.
Get it. Yeah. Get in there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting in there.
You getting in there? Yeah, baby. You in there?
What is the motion? I don't understand what it's supposed to be.
It's not that hump thing you were just doing.
Yeah. It's definitely not the hump.
My pony.
Get on it. Yep. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us on our Zoom episode. We will catch you guys back live at the stand and live only on GasDigitalNetwork.com Monday. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Luis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch up my magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay...
Fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube?
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.